Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Good morning and welcome to another edition of Better Living, a show that focuses on people and organizations making a big difference here in North Texas. I'm your host, Chris Arnold of 105.3 The Fan. Our first guest is Reverend Donald Parrish. When people start a nonprofit, and you've been doing this for a few years now, it is one of the hardest things you could ever do. And then you get your stuff online and already somebody else has the rights to that particular site, that web location. You have to make the adjustment. So, man, I understand.
Chris, we are 5 years old now, man, and I can't believe it.
Wow. Like,
I'm shocked. It's very difficult. It was made immensely more difficult because of the pandemic. But we survived the pandemic. With a lot of just grit and determination. So, and I really do appreciate you giving us this platform to share what we do and how we try to make life better for young people across the nation.
Well, let me tell you something. I appreciate all that you do here in Dallas. And by the way, Happy New Year. Don, yes, a steady hand, for those who don't know, that committed to restoring hope in the lives of young people and helping them succeed, especially when they feel as if they lack the confidence, skill, or support to do so. You do it with a lot of different ways. The mentoring program, the exposing, the sports, the caring, the collaboration, all those different things. You're basically that steady hand. Is that how you came up with the name?
Absolutely, man. You were all in my brain, Chris. You know what? I don't know if anybody's told you this, but I think you need to be in the Radio Hall of Fame, man. That was a very good
Well, I'm already in there. They put me in there a couple of years ago.
Well, look at something? That. Look.
Texas Radio Hall of Fame. They put me in 2020.
Absolutely. Very well deserved, man. I was so happy to hear that. But yeah, that's exactly what it is that we do. And so we use these things. So my logo kind of serves for me as a daily reminder and my mission statement. Like, these are the fingers that it takes to put our hand around a child, mm-hmm. to make sure we're guiding them to where they need to go. And, you know, and so even with sports, we even include gaming. And so I'll tell you what we're doing in gaming as well. Have an exciting announcement about that as well.
So which to me is the most important to you? You mentioned all the different fingers on the steady hand. You got the mentoring, uh-huh. the exposing, the sports, mm-hmm. the caring, the collaborating. Mm-hmm. What to you is the most important? Are they all equal?
They're all kind of equal. They all are kind of interchangeable. But let me start with mentoring, and let me say it this way. We were getting active and involved on campuses in 2018, okay? Mm-hmm. Coming off of the Breakfast with Dads event that we did that put us on a national stage, right?
Right.
And, you know, again, I have to say this, I personally have been doing this work since 2000. I just did not form an organization until 2018.
Right.
So we were accustomed to the work. And was it hard? Yes. Was it tough? Yes. Were we dealing with issues? Yes. But man, this pandemic has done something to the day-to-day life of young people everywhere, in inner city, suburban,
yeah,
private school, does not matter. And so,
you know what it did? It disrupted what they thought was normal. And then they didn't know what the new normal would be. They didn't know what their future was going to be like, because in nobody's lifetime, especially their young age, they're like, wow, a pandemic. And it was just new to everybody. But more important for them, they're like, well, everybody else is older than us. And, you know, you've already had a life. What is my life going to be like?
Correct. And it kind of destroyed hope for a lot of them. And
yeah.
So when you ask me what's most important, I'll tell you let me answer the question this way. This is what we have we've gotten back to our roots, in which is one-on-one mentoring inside the schools, be it in a group setting or one-on-one during the lunchtime hour. And we are actively recruiting for mentors who are willing to come into schools. You can wear a mask, you not wear a mask, that's completely up to you. And we have selected several schools here in Dallas that we're going full throttle starting this semester.
You can name the names.
Okay, great. Well, South Oak Cliff. So high schools right now, South Oak Cliff High School and Carter High School are the two high schools that we're focused on. Dade Middle School, and man, that's about five elementary schools that we've already begun work on these campuses. We continue to do work on this campus through the pandemic, but coming out of the pandemic and where we're able to come on campus, these are the schools that we have selected that we want to start working on. As a matter of fact, to show you how it's all interconnected, Chris, we are mentoring and exposing, which is my next finger, right? We're taking, and you're going to love this. You're going to love this. Right now, we're planning on taking 20 juniors and sophomores from SOC and 20 juniors and sophomores from Carter, and we're going to some school in Norman, Oklahoma on a college tour.
Look out, close to my heart. That's where I graduated, as you already know, Boomer Sooner, Oklahoma.
You know, for a Longhorn, you know that hurts my
feelings. Well, I'm glad you're looking past all of those things.
Well, you know, the truth of the matter is, I know we have this rivalry and all that, but the truth of the matter is, I need our young people in South Dallas, Oak Cliff, to see something different, right?
Yes.
To go someplace that they never been. Unless you walk it, you don't know it. You don't know if it can happen. I read a stat once, and I need to see if this is updated, but it said a kid is 67% more likely to attend school if he or she just walks on a college campus.
I can believe that. I can believe that.
And so
you feel like really it's attainable, you know. In other words, you don't just dream about it or see it on TV or you get your emails or your letters about it. You wind up thinking, wow, I could actually go to school here.
Correct. And so, Chris, college tours are something I was doing monthly at one point.
Yeah.
We have not done one in 3 years. This is our first one in 3 years because of the pandemic. And the schools don't even really know how to receive big number of students anymore. And so I had to shrink my number down to 40, you know, for that very reason, because they really don't know how to properly receive students. And so we are trying our best to make sure that we can, have our kids ready for what's next for them, if college is what's next for them, right?
But
you can't, I don't want them to cancel a plan for their life until they have the full information to properly investigate it. And so mentoring and exposing for me go hand in hand. We have to do those things, you know, along with the meeting of emergency needs. We shifted during the pandemic from mentoring to really being an emergency needs meter.
Break that down.
So the donations and stuff that were coming in, man, we had to send it to Walmart Plus and us and got on a first name basis, because during the pandemic, some of our young people who are in college could not get food. I know that sounds crazy, but when these schools were shutting down and trying to decide what they're going to do, if you're a kid that's barely making it and your parents don't have a lot of resources, then you were dependent upon the food cafeteria to feed you. Well, the cafeteria closed down because of COVID. You were not eating.
Yeah, I understand. There's like, they call it supply chain.
Correct. And so we were having to find creative ways to get food and to help get some of our young people home, to help transport them home.
Right.
And so from that, and then, of course, the mayor tasked us with leading his milk drive that he did during the pandemic. And so we were the lead organization to kind of help organize that. And so we were able to pass out milk and cereal and vegetables and, you know, at like 17 different sites, you know, here around Dallas. And so, you know, that's just kind of who we are. You know, we see a need, we feel a need, but our baseline of who we are is mentoring and exposing. And now we're getting into sports and into gaming. And I'm really excited, you know, just to bring all that together. But everything we do, Chris, comes with mentoring. Everything we do comes with that interaction of a young person having a concerned adult who they can bounce ideas off of. So
I love that, because it's all about, as you mentioned, setting the example, being there for them, and giving them someplace or someone that they can turn to when they have thoughts that are crossing their minds. Like, sometimes they're nefarious thoughts. This friend's got some ideas, and it's like, wait a minute, is this the smart thing to do? You need an adult. You need somebody you can trust. You want to bounce off, like I said, positive ideas and also those nefarious ideas.
Absolutely, man. We all need somebody.
We all need somebody. Now, you were teasing about this gaming, so go ahead. Here's your opportunity. Let's talk about the sports and the gaming.
Man, so as you know, Chris, I've been developing a gaming idea for a while now.
And yeah, I think you were telling me you were trying to create a hub or something that where all the kids can get together.
Well, that, and then also we have I call it the Front Office Club. Matter of fact, you can go to the website. There's a link to it on the Steady Hands website. So you can go to beasteadyhand.org and then navigate the way to the Front Office Club. Or you can just go to the frontoffice.club, okay? And so, and it talks about it in loose terms, but we are going, and you're the first person I've said this to outside of my team, but we are going to have a Front Office Club summer camp this summer where we are, not only are we teaching kids competitive gaming, but we're going to get into the sports management piece and have them become mini owners and mini GMs and mini player personnel directors and all this, all using gaming. It's going to be amazing.
Wow.
And the kids are going to love it. The goal of it is to expose them to careers and opportunities away from the field. And also for those who have the talents and abilities, no, there are colleges right now who are putting together competitive gaming teams.
Yes, they are. Yes, they are. I'm familiar with it. I'm familiar. SMU's got a great program. So does TCU. And I think UTA as well.
Absolutely. And so we're trying to get our kids in line for that. But I'm also for the kids who just game for fun, but who can soak in this information. They never saw themselves as an agent. They never saw themselves as a general manager. They never saw themselves as a team owner, where we're going to use these various sports games and teach them the game using the information that's right there in front of them. So I'm very excited about that. Anybody who's listening, if you want to learn more about that, just go to the frontoffice.club. You can sign up there, go to A Steady Hand, find us on any of our social media platforms, send me a message as, hey, Donald, when you guys start this, I want my kid to be involved. Or maybe you as an adult, you're a professional in the area, you want to be involved. Man, just send us a message and I promise we will stay in contact with you. But I'm really excited at the potential of what that is. We've kind of done some beta testing in one of our middle schools here in Dallas during the fall semester, and the kids loved it. And so we're now gearing up for what I hope will be a month-long kind of half a day summer camp kind of experience targeting middle school and high school students. They can, boys or girls, they can be gamers, they cannot be gamers. Does not matter. Mm-hmm. We would get them and we would teach them what to do. For the ones who want to focus on gaming, we have that. But for the other ones who want to, even Chris, have a career like yours, there's even a methodology in this system where we're going to need people to broadcast these games.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to need people to interview the various players. So anything that touches the world of sports, gaming wise, we'll be able to do. Along with that, we're getting into team sports. I really believe that team sports, every kid needs to play at least one team sport at some point in their life.
So they can learn about the discipline, how to share, how to compete, how to focus some aggression in a positive way. I understand those things. Yes.
And that somebody else is dependent upon me doing my job. And even if I'm having a bad day, I can't let that affect my work because I'm one piece of this whole car, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I got to do my part so everybody else can do theirs. And so to that end, we are working on a basketball league that's going to be very unique because, again, we layer everything with mentoring. And so each team is going to start off with a team mentor, but my job and my team's job will be to find every kid who signs up with this league, to find them a mentor who will be with them. And so I have more information about that. We're still in the very preliminary stages of meeting with that, but I got some really exciting people who are going to be working with me with that. And so I definitely will keep you abreast of that, Chris, as we look towards that.
What you're doing is very, very exciting. And for those who don't know, the gaming industry is a $4 billion industry right now. And for those who are talking about, well, it's not traditional sports, I was telling my father-in-law a couple of years ago, I was telling him, I said, because my son, he's a really good gamer. He's a track guy as well, but he's a good gamer. I said, don't you know he can get a scholarship just like he can get a football scholarship? Come on now. A scholarship is a scholarship. And hand-eye coordination with these games is something special as well. And this is another thing that a lot of people may or may not know. Anybody under the age of 40 knows this, but anybody over the age of 40 may not. Most, not some, most professional athletes, no matter what the sport is, baseball, football, basketball, hockey, track, golf, they all are gamers. Most of them are gamers. That's what they do in their spare time. They're not out hitting the clubs and the bars like they used to back in the day. They're gaming with their friends all over the world.
Correct. And I'll tell you one game in particular, Major League Baseball, the show. There are baseball players who use their scouting system within that game to scout their next opponent.
Look out. See there?
Learning pitchers, tendencies, and all that kind of stuff. So why not tap into those things?
That gets you prepared. That gets you prepared in life because not everybody is like a top-notch athlete. In fact, you mentioned baseball in particular. I'm not going to get too deep into this, but there are a lot of people who are running baseball clubs based on their knowledge of analytics. Well, a lot of their knowledge of analytics are based on games and gaming and knowing those kind of things. So if you're going to level the playing field and say, okay, I can't be a manager, I can't be a general manager, I can't get into the front office because, you know, whatever, I was just a player. You don't have to be just a player to be able to have those sports jobs or be a part of the sports community.
Correct. And my thing is, this helps us be pandemic proof. One thing I said to myself was, what if this happens again? What do we do? Right. Mm-hmm. We survived it. Great. But what do we do? And having and utilizing these gaming devices that the majority of our kids have, and if they don't have, we can get it into their hands. Even if we find ourselves in another shutdown, this gives us access to them.
Yes.
It's something that they want to do. You're not having to beg. And
right. And you know what it helps also, Don? It helps them not be isolated, because that's what was adding a lot of pressure on kids and changing them during the pandemic. They were feeling isolated. They were feeling alone. Their day-to-day activities, going to school, being with friends, socializing was not there. And I like what you're thinking, man, because, you know, you never know. There might be a mini pandemic or a different type of virus that comes around, and then people become isolated again.
Correct. And that's not something that we can do. So as you can tell, Chris, we have a lot going on our plate. We have been contacted just about every school in the Metroplex. And then we have our tentacles in cities across the country that we had to put it on hold during the pandemic. But again, I'll say it this way. I will be in Los Angeles in February meeting some people and having some conversations about starting a branch of a steady hand there. So we, you know, same thing, just before I talk to you, just finished talking to a brother there in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Same thing. We've actually been talking to Minnesota now, literally the day after George Floyd passed. We've been having meetings and strategic meetings with people. And so that's six or seven other cities across the nation that have reached out in a very significant way. As always, it's trying to figure out how do you fund it, how do you support it. You can't start something that can't be supported.
Exactly.
Because all you've done then is just hurt the kid. You're just another
disappointed. Yeah, that's a promise. Yeah, that's a promise broken. I know what you're saying. In the nonprofit world, what you're talking about, the fundraising part, that's one of the most difficult things to do.
And that's my job as CEO. So let me, before we close this, let me put in this little shameless plug.
No, please do.
And the best way, and what I'm trying to encourage people to do, the one-time donations are great, but I would, and my team would probably kill me for saying this, but here's the honest to God truth as a guy who has to watch the bottom line. If you are willing to sign up for a monthly donation, via whichever system you feel great doing. Like Facebook does not charge a fee to the end user to donate. So if you want to do it via Meta, if you want to sign up on Amazon Fresh, and I mean not Amazon Fresh, on smile.amazon.com, you can go in and select us to benefit. So every time you buy, Amazon gives us a small percentage of their proceeds. And you can do that via smile.amazon.com. Or if you just want to go to our website, and we have PayPal where you can sign up to be a monthly donor. I'm encouraging people, even if people are willing to give $10 a month, I'm encouraging people to give monthly because that helps me forecast.
Sure.
So I think, going into, because spring semester is already planned, right? But going into the summer and going into the fall, okay, this is what I have coming in. This is who I can afford to bring on to help make a difference in the lives of young people. And so that's what we're trying to get our people used to doing, is to, hey, skip Starbucks one day and help save a kid's life.
Very impressive. And again, what you're doing is excellent work. And I'm so glad that you're in position to help so many different kids on so many different campuses. Now, when is this trip up to Norman again?
Man, we're looking at February 20th. Oh. That's the goal. That's the goal. We still are
in the planning stages. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. We still are communicating with the school and just to make sure everything is good on their end.
Right, because they got protocols now. Like you were talking about, they weren't necessarily ready for, like, you know, 80 kids, but you had to narrow it down to like 40.
Chris, we had gotten up to a point, man, we were taking 200 kids at one time. We took 250 middle school students to tour UT.
Wow.
2018 at one time.
Wow.
You know, and so, yeah, so, you know, we had
just you're doing some parenting for this trip then, my goodness.
Yeah, and so it's different. And so, but this is, so we have this one in February. We're already shooting for another one right after testing season, but early May. We're trying to do another one. And then next semester, hopefully we can get back to a little bit more frequency and not taking the same kids each time.
Sure.
We're taking different sets of kids.
Right.
Because we want as many of them exposed. And here's the last thing, Chris. One last thing about this point. I don't know what else you want me to cover, but I'll say it like this. I tell the principals, don't just give me the A students. Give me some of the knuckleheads too.
Yes.
You know why? Because that knucklehead will see it and he or she will catch it and they'll come back and tell the other knuckleheads. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Man, you would believe my experience and maybe we need to do things differently, but you also have now built a bond between that A student and that struggling student because now they both have the same experience. So when they see each other in the hallway, the conversation that can happen, hey man, I need a little help on my algebra, man. Do you mind helping me, man? I've been blowing this off. I got this big test coming up, you know. We both were on the college tour. We both want to go to school. Hey, man, can you help me? And I have literally seen that kind of thing happen with our young people on these college tours. And so I'm just a firm believer in them. And not that every kid has to go to college, but I think every kid needs to investigate the opportunity to see if it fits them or not. Instead of telling themselves no, go and check it out and see if it fits you. And so, yeah, so we're really excited. We're really excited. You know, to heading down to a little small school in Norman.
See, you had to go there. That's okay, though. Hey, Don, is there a story about a particular kid that you're real proud of? I know there's so many of them that actually had a chance to go on one of the college tours and then wound up going to school themselves.
Man, so, Chris, I have been doing this for a very long time.
Right.
So let me say it this way. I have, and I'm not exaggerating, I probably have about three or four kids that if they have not earned their doctorate, they have almost completed their doctoral program, who went on college tours with us.
Wow.
I have, it's gotta be almost 100 who have a post-secondary degree. So not just college, but at least a master's level degree. Cause we've been doing this for so long.
Yeah.
So I'm very proud of that. I think that you talk about being proud of a story. Let me say it this way. And I have to be very careful how I say this because this young lady is so, she's so small. Two quick stories.
Okay. Take your time.
In one of my elementary schools, there was a first grader who had communicated to her teachers that she was suicidal. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And so I couldn't say suicide or even spell suicide when I was in first grade. Okay. But she had let them know that she was thinking about hurting herself. We were able to pair her with a mentor. And now see, this is 2 years ago. Now that girl is in the third, going to the fourth grade, and it is doing extremely well. And wow. I'm just glad that we were able to step in and to deal with that. Well, this past semester at a different elementary school, one of the young ladies who we were brought to work with was non-talkative. Not that she didn't have the cognitive ability. She just chose not to speak. She was raised in a household with a mom who has mental health issues, very, very pronounced mental health issues.
Mm-hmm.
They think the daughter is okay because she tests well. She just does not speak. Like, she literally does not talk.
She just chooses not to.
She chooses not. She has made a choice not to speak. And, you know, mental health professionals who are hearing this, they probably know exactly what that is.
Mm-hmm.
And so she comes to my group. And for the first 3 or 4 sessions, she's not saying anything. And she is scared of me. Now, I talk loud and I got all this long hair. So I'm scared of myself half the time too. But she warmed up one day and got the courage to speak, because I was talking to them about their weekend and, you know, hey, what's going on with you? We're dealing with, you know, the big buzz phrase, the social emotional learning, you know, but we've always been dealing with what's going on, especially when you work in inner city, because these kids are exposed to so much violence and so much crime and that they have to have a place to unload it, right? And so we were just talking about the weekend, all that. Man, Chris, this girl raised her hand, spoke in very clear, complete sentences, so much so that the other kids stopped talking and looked.
Wow.
They couldn't believe that she was talking. And I didn't make it a big deal. I said, very good, sweetie. You know, and she said her, you know, 2 or 3 sentences, and then and she was done. But that taught me everything. I learned a lesson in that moment. No one is a finished product. For whatever reason, she chose a vow of silence, because that's the only thing that she can control in her life. But she's listening and she's watching every single day. And so if anybody wants to join us in this work with a steady hand, understand the intentionality behind it, in which we do. We have a lot of fun. I don't do anything unless it's fun. But we also are very intentional, because lives are truly at stake,
mm-hmm.
and destiny is at stake. Legacy is at stake. And these kids who will outlive us will one day come back and think about and say, man, you know, if it wasn't for this guy who or this lady who took time off for lunch, you know, and met with me twice a month when I was in middle school, man, it changed my life and helped me put me on this direction. Those are the kind of people who were looking for to become mentors with a steady hand. And those are the kind of people who were looking for across the nation, who don't mind just taking your lunch break twice a month. That's it. That's all I ask, Chris. Give me a lunch break twice a month.
Yeah.
Come on campus and invest in the life of young people. If you want to do more, we'll help you do more. But that's the baseline of what I ask. And I don't know anybody who has a professional job, you know, or that's a retiree, they can't afford to, you know, to take the time to do that. So I'm just really excited, man. We're just bubbling with excitement. And I'm so grateful for this opportunity to talk about, you know, my life's work. I really am.
Let me tell you something. What you're doing is phenomenal. And I've always said this. I put you right up there with first responders and educators, because you get something out of this. It's very impactful for you when you're able to change kids' lives, or change people's lives, or help their lives, or save a life. And I think what you're doing is so important. They always used to say, it takes a village. Well, you're showing what the village can look like. This is how you get it done. Everybody can talk about it, but some people actually act upon it. And I think what you're doing with a steady hand is changing a whole lot of lives and making a big difference here in Dallas. We're talking to Reverend Donald Parrish. Don Parrish has been doing this for a while now. A steady hand to help save lives. Committed to restoring hope in the lives of young people. You can find out more information at beasteadyhand.org. It's a wonderful website. You can just, you can peruse it, see the stories, see the national headlines that they've made across the country. And the fact that you're doing here local here in Dallas is just absolutely amazing. Don, thanks again for joining us. And joining us right now is a Dallas legend. I'm going to say it. You are a Dallas legend, Miss Diane Gibson. Miss Community herself, Diane Gibson. How you doing?
I am blessed. I just can't say it. Thankful, blessed, happy. I'm just good.
Well, you know, the people who listen to you on the radio for all these years, the first thing you're supposed to say when I say, here's Diane Gibson, what you say?
Hi, family.
There you go. That's your staple. For those who don't know and are not familiar, you've been missing out. She is a legend. She is a community organizer. She's been doing things in Dallas for years and years and years and years. And she would pop on the radio with me and Skip Murphy and company. Skip, Nanette, Sam Wig, and Nanette. We call her Betsy. No, you call her Wig Betsy. Yes, Betsy. You would give us the latest information that's going on in Dallas and let people know what they needed to know. And so I was talking to you just the other day, and you were telling me you're about to retire?
Yes, I am retiring from the city attorney's office for the city of Dallas after 18 years, 6 months, and 2 weeks.
That is amazing. First of all, let's talk about how you decided to retire. I can't even understand how you retire, because this is what you do. It's almost like a coach. It's almost like a coach retiring. When this is what the coach does.
Well, here's the good news is that I'm retiring from the city, but I'm actually going back to the county. And Chris, if I can elaborate, this is so amazing. It just shows how God is working through all of this, is because I'm going back to the very court that I started at in 1989. With the Dallas County. And wow. So that's just, it just went full circle. So I've been here 18 years when I started here. And again, this whole story is just so amazing.
Well, let's hear this story, because people want to know these things. Because again, people have been keeping up with you for years and years and years. And this is like, I mean, this is the rest of the story. Let's get some transparency here.
Here's some complete transparency. First and foremost, you guys, here's what's so amazing. Let me tell them first how I got the name Miss Community. So here's how I got the name Miss Community. It was Juneteenth. It was Juneteenth. And I kept just trying to get into the radio station. I kept trying to get into the radio station because at the Martin Luther King Center, which y'all know is my favorite charitable event. And so we was at the King Center. We had all these activities, all this free food, but we didn't have anybody here. And we're trying to celebrate Juneteenth. So I called Joycelyn. And so Joycelyn worked at Service Broadcast.
Joycelyn Johnson.
Yes. Joycelyn said, Diane, I'm going to give you the number for you to call Skip Murphy and let him know. And Skip was still new to the city of Dallas. Mm-hmm. She said, but here's the thing. You got to get past Nanette Lee. Because she sits there right there at that phone. She said, you got to get past her. I said, okay. I said, I'm going to get past her. If I tell y'all, it was probably 21 times. And she just kept, every time I call, she just hang up. I call back, she just hang up. I call back, she just hang up. And so finally, I call and Wig answered the telephone. So Wig said, who is this? I keep calling. I said, this is Diane Gibson. I'm on the board at the Martin Luther King Center, and it's a Juneteenth celebration. And I just want the people to know that we got all this free food, all free games and activities, but we don't have any kids. So Wig said, hold on, she gone to the bathroom. So let me tell Skip. He said, let me tell Skip Murphy. And so when Skip got on the phone, I went through the whole gamut again. I just told him everything. And so Skip said, okay, give me a minute. Give me a minute. We're going to let you go on live. I said, are you serious? He was like, yeah, you're going to go on live. So true enough, we announced it. And oh, my goodness, within an hour, I didn't have to tell him there was free nothing no more. We had an abundance of kids from the neighborhood that came rushing over to Martin Luther King Center to participate in the Juneteenth activity.
This is why so many people admire and respect you, because you have a way with words and you know how to deliver the information. But more importantly, I mean, it's one thing to deliver the information. You are there at everything. It's one thing to say, okay, there's this going on over here. There's this going on over there. But you are attending a lot of these things. That's what everybody absolutely found amazing. You are so accessible. You know, that's why everybody called you Miss Community, because you were just there. And that's why people would believe in whatever you would say. It's like, okay, we need some help doing this. Or guess what function's going on over there? Can you show up? People would show up because of you. And I know you don't like to talk about yourself, but it's just the way you would present it and the fact that you backed it up by being there. And I just want to know about like some of the different things you mentioned a few of, but you keep deflecting. You keep talking about all the other people you work with. You were the one that brought a lot of people together.
And Chris, the reason why I do that is because I always tell people I'm all that I am because of who you all are. And everybody want to know, well, Diane, why did you take the capital letters out of your name? And I said, my cousin actually helped me, and Kokisha Bailey. The reason why I took the caps out of my name, because every once in a while you start listening to the cheerleaders. You start listening to the cheers. Oh, Diane, you're this, and Diane, you're that. And all of a sudden, that human nature decides to take over. And you have to remind yourself, it ain't me. It ain't me. It's the God in me. And so I put the lowercase letters. I don't put capital letters in my name because my name is something I write often. And it always remind me I must decrease so that he might increase. And so everything I do is to the glory of God. And then I just thank God. I'm amazed sometimes myself at the people God has put in my life to be able to help other people. Mm-hmm. And I always tell people that with all seriousness, if you're like today, what you're doing, if you're in a position to help people and you don't do it, or you just have a selected few that you help, that's not giving God the glory. If you want to give God the glory, regardless of whether it's the homeless people on the street or whether it's the ones in the mansion or the president at the White House, if God has put you in a position to help other people, then that's what you need to do. And I have to elaborate a little on Bad Seed. I would call Bad Seed because of the way she treated me. And so that's why she was Bad Seed. But when I tell you every cause I did in this community, Bad Seed was right there. Girl, if you don't quit spending my money, how much you need now, Diane? How much? Here she go. Nay, I need. But guess what? She was always there. And here's the one time that I just had the utmost respect for. We was out at an event, and we was doing some kind of event. We was out, and all of us was out there. And this one lady walked up and she was full figured. And you know, that's when Bad Seed was really full figured. Mm-hmm. And this lady said, you know what, you guys, all I want is a coat. She said, all I want is a coat. She said, because I'm out here and it's cold and I don't have a coat. Nanette didn't even say nothing. She didn't look at me. She didn't do anything. She took that nice leather coat off, nice leather coat, and gave that woman. She said, can I have it? Nanette said, yeah. I said, oh, wow. Look at Bad Seed. But yes, Bad Seed did that. She was always one that I could depend on, that I said, okay, here's what I need. Wig was the same way. Skip was the same way. Chris was the same way. Sam Putney. It was a lot of times. I always tell people, y'all don't have no money. I spend more of everybody else's money than I do of my own. But that's a blessing.
It is.
People entrust you enough to be able to do it. I have people that just say, Diane, take the card. Just take it. I'm like, y'all are so special. But that's why I say I'm all that I am because of the people God has allowed to be in my life. Willis Johnson is still a number one supporter financially with helping with all these grandparents that I'm always having to help in every day. Mm-hmm.
Can you talk about that just for a second? Can you talk about the grandparents that you've been helping? Because sometimes, like I said, people don't know the little things you've been doing.
Well, see, it was so amazing again. Because I got this idea from Willis Johnson and Jocelyn Johnson again, because we used to do, you remember, the Black Adoption Program.
Right.
But we would be on there saying,
the adoptable children. The adoptable children, yep.
And we would always say, we need a bicycle. We need this. And the listening audience would again come through and they would give us everything we asked for. Those kids that was in adoption would always have a big Christmas. And, you know, Nate Newton will come down and be our Santa Claus.
And one time we had Beyonce and Destiny's Child perform for those kids.
That's right.
Before they became big time.
Yes. And we was down at the Hyatt.
Yep.
Well, after they stopped doing it, I said, you know what? We still need to do something.
Right.
And so I was raised basically by my dad and his mother, which is my grandmother. And Christmas was always a big time in our house. And so Mertis Evans in Senator West's office was telling me about the fact that, you know, these grandparents that are raising grandkids don't get any financial help because naturally the parents don't want to relinquish their rights. So they keep all the benefits that go with the kids, but they're not raising them. So you got these grandparents that are raising kids and they're raising them on their fixed income. This year, I had a grandparent that has been with me since start. She's on her fifth generation of grandkids.
Wow.
Fifth generation. And so Channel 8 actually featured her this last December on their show. But I started that after we started that. And again, Skip Murphy and company, they was like, okay, Diane, what we need to do? I said, here's what we need to do. We got to get these grandparents. And so it went from doing 10 grandparents, went from doing 20. We are now at 55 grandparents.
Wow.
And they're like, Diane, can you take some more? I'm like, y'all, do y'all know 55 grandparents? It's not just them. We take on the kids too.
Mm-hmm.
And so this thing has just basically taken on a face of its own, because the families that adopt these kids and these families, they don't just adopt the kids. They actually adopt the grandparents too.
Mm-hmm.
And so Chris, this year for the first time, normally it's, you know, women that are raising grandkids. But for the first time this year, do you know we had two granddaddies? We had two.
Oh, that's great.
Grandfathers. Yes, that are raising grandkids. And I have to always keep telling this story. You know, most of the kids south of the Trinity don't have access to tablets or to computers.
Right.
And we're still trying to get access to internet. So
mm-hmm.
they're supposed to be working on that. But we had a young lady that saw one of the stories on Channel 8. And so she called in from Highland Park. She had to be as sweet as she wanted to be. And she was like, you know what? Guess what? She said, I tell you what, I want to do something. And so she did. And with her donation, I was able to get tablets and computers for mostly all the kids that did not already have one for the over the age of 14 and give them computers or tablets. And so it's just taking on a whole new phase. We don't just give them little small gifts. Senator West usually provides us with the toys. So we're always good because he has a toy drive that he gives us the toys for the mm-hmm. kids. Then Eva with American Airlines, for her birthday party, she always tells people to bring in bicycles for the kids. So our kids get a lot. So what we try to do is we try to make sure they get the toys, because kids are still kids. And we can say, well, that's not what they need. They need a coat and a hat. Now look, how many kids you know at Christmas talk about, I need a coat and a hat? Most of them want the toys.
They want the toys.
So we get them the toys. Thanks to Eve and her group, we get them the bicycles, and they get all kind of little nice gifts, remote control cars, the basketball, the footballs, mm-hmm. and board games and all of that. So they get that. And then what we try to do with what we do is we try to tell the families, well, you buy them clothes. And then this year we was able to buy them the laptops or the tablets. So we get them clothes. So basically our kids, everybody wants to participate in our grandparents program, because they know we're going to give them nice, nice gifts. And then Santa has a whole basket stuffed for toys that he actually gives when they come up and sit on his lap and want to talk to Santa. And so we just make it a big event, and it just keep growing bigger and larger. And thanks to Concord this year, for the last 2 years, we've done it at the Concord Baptist Church, because it's a large facility. We all have everybody in one room. The families all get to sit at the table together. And if the sponsors want to, they actually get an opportunity to not only sit at the table with their family, but they go up and give them the gifts, take pictures with the family,
oh,
with
nice.
Santa and Mrs. Claus. And we have two nice elves. And so we have a big, big time. This year, we even had a DJ in the house. So we did it big time. We partied. We had a ball for them.
That
and
is
so
wonderful.
It was just really, really nice. And our grandparents really loved their gifts. It's Chris, we can't tell nobody. But the one thing I love, Jenny with Jenny's Beauty Supply,
mm-hmm.
Jenny give them all the Remy hair.
Uh-oh. And I know they know somebody that can take care of it for them.
That's right. She gives every grandparent the Remy. That's the real thing for those of y'all that
goodness.
Don't know that.
Oh, they and know. They, a lot of people know about the hair products. Yes.
Yes. And not only that, but Jenny actually comes and perform, because she plays the saxophone.
Okay.
Yep, she come back.
It sounds like it was a great holiday time for everybody. And that's fantastic work that you do. But again, that's just more of what you do. And that's why it's hard to believe that, I guess you're retiring from the city of Dallas, but you say you're going to Dallas County. When is the retirement ceremony? And tell everybody what you have been doing exactly for the city of Dallas for 18 years.
Okay, for 18 years. But I have to say hi to, they go say, I'm going to say this name wrong, Zach Prescott dad, Mr. Nathaniel Prescott.
Yes, Dak's dad, yeah.
Yeah, he actually came to the event too, and he was so helpful. He gave mm-hmm. a gift card to our oldest grandmother and to our youngest grandmother. Oh, that's so they fantastic. Were just elated that he showed up.
That is fantastic.
So I just want to say thank you to them. But for the last 18 years, but I have to tell y'all a story. It was so funny. So I was in between jobs when I got this job. I was mm-hmm. in between jobs, and I was working at K104, just working and helping them. That crazy Greg Street even said on the air one day, he said, I just want y'all to know that Diane Gibson up here helping everybody else get jobs, but she'll have one herself.
So, put your business out there.
Leave it to Greg Street to put me out on Front Street, okay? Mm-hmm. And so we all had a good time. So then, that's why my daddy used to always tell us, don't ever burn bridges. Always leave a place where you can go back with your head up and not your head down.
Right.
And so I used to date this guy, right? Mm-hmm. So we stopped dating. But I always tell people, every guy I've dated, I always have their family. Their family still hold on to me. And so I still stayed in contact with his mom and his sisters, really good friends and everything. And we still stayed in contact. And then in addition to that, I was helping this one lady, Miss Cynthia, who was a Dallas County clerk. She wanted to do this event to talk about better businesses and everything. So Vernon Thomas called me and said, Diane, I need you to help Cynthia. I said, okay, we'll help her. We'll help her. And you don't help people because it comes with a fee. You just help them because you right. can help. So mm-hmm. I got K104 and KRMB and KKDA to be the radio sponsors. We did this big event at New Birth. Fast forward, then Sandra, who was the guy that I used to date, sister, she called me one day out of the clear blue. We hadn't talked probably about 3 or 4 years. She said, Diane, I got this job for you. She said, I heard Greg Street say you didn't have no job. I said, girl, was you listening? She said, yeah. She said, I said, I got the job for Diane. They had the city attorney's office had actually offered Sandra the job. And Sandra told them no, because she was working for the county clerk, mm-hmm. Cynthia, and Cynthia had referred her to the job. Mm-hmm. And so Sandra came, did the interview. And when she heard about all that, what it involved, she said she told them, who was Matlin Johnson, was the city attorney then, and Roxanne Poss was the chief community prosecutor. And she said she told them, this ain't my job. She said, this is Diane Gibson's job.
Well.
And so for 3 days, Sandra said, girl, I've been trying to get in touch with you for 3 days. I was in Houston helping the late Joyce Ann Brown with this campaign we was doing called Unlock the Vote, mm-hmm. encouraging and educating formerly incarcerated people that now that you're off paper, you can vote. And so we was busy in Houston trying to promote that campaign. So when I got back and she told me, I need you to call this lady, send her your resume, because I told them this is your job. And true enough, got back, Libby Lee helped me out. We updated my resume, sent it to Roxanne Paws. 3 weeks later, Roxanne called me in for an interview to be the community court manager for a new community court they were going to open in the South Dallas area at the Martin Luther King Center. Did the interview, ace interview. She called me to come back to meet the city attorney, who was then Matlin Johnson, met the city attorney. And then after that, 2 weeks later, she called me and offered me the job. You guys, I was in South Dallas, and baby, I just walked out of that place, and they thought I was just really losing it, because I was like, oh my goodness.
You were home. You love the Martin Luther King Center. That's your spot.
That's it. And that's what I said, too. And so June 24th, I started here at the Martin Luther King Center, where the first South Dallas Community Court was established. And you guys, that was in 2004. And here it is, 2023, we started with one court. That was at the Martin Luther King Center. That one court now is recognized on a national level by the BJA, and we are now recognized as a mentor court. That means courts all over the good US of A and in other countries come to the Martin Luther King Center to see how we set up the South Dallas wow. Court. We've had people from Africa, Venezuela, Canada. We helped Detroit start their court. Mm-hmm. We also helped Atlanta start their court. We helped Houston start theirs. We worked with Fort Worth to start theirs. And so it just took off. We went from being one court, 7 grants later, after my first year, we actually received the grant from the U.S. Attorney General. And that grant was for us to help young people between the ages of 18 and 25 either transition out of gangs or to stay out of gangs. And the U.S. Attorney General Gonzalez at that time came to Dallas to actually give us the presentation. Only 3 states was chosen, 3 cities in 3 different states were chosen. And Dallas was one of those three. And so we actually had that grant in addition to that. In addition to that grant, we just started receiving all other grants and everything. And it has just been just one, I mean, I guess just one milestone after another.
Yeah.
And so now we have a court in South Dallas inside the Martin Luther King Center. We have one in West Dallas inside the West Dallas Multipurpose Center. We also have one in South Oak Cliff inside the Dart Police Station. And thanks to Dwayne Carraway, that's who was able to get us into that. He said it used to be, I'm not from Dallas, but it used to be an old train station, he said. Mm-hmm. And so we now have a community court inside there, and that's where all of your Dart police officers are housed too. So we actually have a court there. We have one in Northeast, and that's the Northeast Community Court out in that Vickery Meadows area. And then we have a night court. That was our last court we opened because everybody can't come to court during the daytime.
That's
so
right.
We actually have a night court that goes from 1 until 9 p.m. It's at 2014 Main Street. And so we try to meet people where they are. And that's why we're in the community because it's local. You don't have to pay for parking. It's in the community. And then it's a one-stop shop because we are what? We are located inside service centers. And so whatever we can't do, and community court is a new concept, Chris. Mm-hmm. It's not like your average Class C misdemeanor court mm-hmm. where you go in, pay a fine, or you have the fear of going to jail. First of all, a Class C is not a jailable offense. You only end up in jail because you didn't show up for court. So they issued a warrant for your arrest, or you was put on probation and you didn't follow the conditions of your probation. So they held you in contempt of court, but you don't go to jail per se on a Class C misdemeanor. But the good thing about community court, and it's so funny because when I was running for JP in the 90s, that was the whole concept I wanted to do in the Dallas County JP office.
And look what happened.
Yep.
And look what happened.
And so they put me in community court. And in community court, when you come in and you enter a plea of guilty or no contest, that's when the help began because we have full-time social workers in every court. They will do a full assessment on that individual to find out what are some of the underlying problems. Because I promise you, people are not just sitting out under a tree drinking beer because they don't have nothing to do. If you've ever tried to get into city government by yourself, you know it's not easy. And so what the social workers do is that they serve as advocates for those defenders. First, they're going to do a full assessment because everything in community court is assessment driven. So we want to know what are the underlying problems. A lot of times they don't have ID. So one of the things we do, thanks to the Foundation for Community Empowerment, Don Williams, it's a Trammell Crow Foundation, and John Edmondson, they gave us a grant because what we do is, look, first of all, you need some actual ID. People don't want to show they'll go out and get out of prison ID. Mm-hmm. But we get them state-issued ID. Now, that gives you a sense of dignity and a sense of pride.
Right.
Because why? It is state-issued ID. We help them do that, and we pay for all of that. So we help them with that. Then if you need your SSI started, a lot of times some people just give up and you really do qualify for your SSI. So what do? We help you or either direct you to somebody that can help you get your SSI benefits started. We work real close with Dallas County Health and Human Services. Most people don't know they have a whole welfare division over there. And so they don't know that. Then in addition to that, we also help you with finding employment. If you're unemployed or underemployed, we help you with that. Because I always tell people, everybody poor ain't on food stamps.
Exactly.
You actually have some working poor people.
Mm-hmm.
There are people that go to work every day and they're poor. And so one of the things that Dallas don't have enough of is affordable housing. Like other states that I've came from, your rent is based on your income.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not something Dallas has a lot of.
Right.
Chris and I can stay in the same apartment complex. Chris could be paying $600 a month for rent. I could be paying two. It's based on the income and the number of people in that household that lives off that income. And that's something Dallas does not have. So you got a lot of working poor people that are still trying to make it. And they're actually working every day and not, it was so funny. We had one guy, quick little story. We had one guy that came into the court and he was actually working as a temp with the city. And he was a homeless individual.
Mm-hmm.
He said he stopped paying rent because his first son went to college. And he said he was determined to make sure that kid stayed in college. So he went homeless so that he could send all his money to his son who was going to college. He said, then the city told him, okay, well, you know that little shanty town, that's what we call the homeless encampment. Mm-hmm. That little shanty town down mm-hmm. there, we're going to need you to go down there and clean that up. He said, y'all know I had to clean up my own homeless tent.
Wow.
Working at the city, but wow. he was cleaning up his own homeless encampment.
Wow.
And so those are things that we help people find jobs. Now, the other good thing about it is we don't put additional hardship on you. In lieu of finding court costs, what we do is get you to do community service. So now you're giving back to the community where you committed the crime, and then you're helping our senior citizens or our disabled.
There you go.
We do house painting.
There you go.
We also
you giving back.
Pick up trash. And so, and the thing about it, Chris,
people, they're not throwing you away. You're not throwing you away. You're giving you something to do to help the community that you were actually hurting when you first committed your crime.
That's right. And contrary to popular belief, people think, oh, homeless people don't want to do nothing. They don't want to work. No, 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 no. I'm here to tell you, in the 18 years I've been doing this, my homeless folks are some strong,
workers.
Committed.
Yes.
They will work. But Chris, here's the thing I love about them. I tell them, y'all, if anything ever go down, all I need to do is get to South Dallas. Just get to South Dallas. They're going to take care of you.
Yes.
Because all people want, Chris, is to know that you have a heart that cares and know that you're going to put forth a concerted effort to help them. And then you're going to respect them. You're going to have to respect them. Court staff know that everybody that comes in this court, I don't care what they look like, I don't care what they smell like, you better refer to them as Mr. and Mrs. And Chris, you should see them when we said Mr. or Mrs. And then when they've finished their probation and they have satisfied all the conditions of their probation, Chris, you have to come before the pandemic when they would come into the court. I would walk in the courtroom and they'd be all dressed up with what little they have, Chris.
Wow. But they were so proud.
They come dressed up.
They were proud.
I said, you know what? It must be a graduation.
Yeah.
Everybody dressed up and looking good. And they do. We had one guy that graduated from our drug court. One guy graduated from the drug court. And this guy said, do you know I am 38 years old? He said, I've never worn a cap and gown before in my life. And all of us in the court just kind of went, wow, how many times have we worn a cap and gown? Stuff that we take for granted.
Yeah.
That man stood there and cried 6'3" and said, do you know I have never, ever worn a cap and gown before in my life? I'm like, Lord.
See?
And we used to fuss, Lord Jesus, and we got to put
Diane, this is why you do what you do. You are affecting lives. And that's why we call you Miss Community. That's why milestones happen over at your court. And we can't wait to get a hold of you again when you're back with Dallas County. Can we do that?
Yes, I'm so excited.
Can we do that?
We can do that. Judge Marilyn Mays would love it. And I know Judge Ben Ellis, he's going on to be with the Lord now. But Judge Ellis would be like, is she back? Because we ran a tight ship. And it's County Criminal Court number one. And I told Judge Mays, I said, but Judge Ellis would never let us say one. He said, I am the County Criminal Court.
There you go.
But in order for a DA to go on to the felony courts, you had to make it past Judge Ellis. If you made it past Judge Ellis, you was ready to go now to a new court. And so I'm excited. I get to still do what I love. And in closing, I'll say this. I have to say what John Ware, our former city manager, and he's made his transition to glory. But when John Ware stepped down as the city manager for the city of Dallas, in his closing speech, he said he was going to work for Tom Hicks at American Airlines Arena. And he said, I'd rather work for one person any day than 15. He said, so I'm going on over here and work with him. So here's what my closing is.
Mm-hmm.
I have had the privilege of actually managing 5 judges, 21 staff people, 7 courts for the last 18 years and 6 months. I am going to consider it a blessing and joy that now I get to just manage one judge, one court. I am a court coordinator for just one person that I'm responsible for. And now that I've gotten older, that is a blessing, Chris, within itself. And I'm going to love it. And I'm going to love the possibilities of pulling the city and the county together so we can work better to help the citizens of Dallas County.
Yes, 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 yes. That is why you are Miss Community. Diane, it's been a pleasure because you are a treasure. Thanks for joining us, Diane.
Okay.
And that's why I love doing this show, visiting with people like Diane Gibson, who's been giving back to Dallas and Dallas County for years and years and years and years. She is an asset. And as I said earlier to Reverend Donald Parrish, it's people like Reverend Donald Parrish and Diane Gibson who I put on the same level as first responders and educators, healthcare workers. Literally, they are difference makers, and they don't do this for the salary. They don't do it for the money. They do it because it impacts their hearts and it impacts their lives. And I don't know where we would be without them, without the Don Parrishes, without the Diane Gibsons. They are in the trenches. They make the difference, and we cannot thank them enough. I'm Chris Arnold of 105.3 The Fan, thanking you for joining me and joining all of us. Tune in next week as we shout out and talk to other people and organizations doing great things in our community right here on Better Living. So long, everybody.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.